This is episode number 128 with Nicole Lappin. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, everyone? Thank you guys so much for coming back on the School of Greatness podcast. Excited about today's guest. Her name is Nicole Lappin, and she is known for being the youngest anchor ever at CNN, and then going on to claim the same title at CNBC, where she anchored Worldwide Exchange and contributed to Morning Joe and the Today Show. Nicole has also served as an anchor and special correspondent for Bloomberg TV. She regularly appears as a financial expert on CNN, Entertainment Tonight, and talk shows, including The Wendy Williams Show. Lappin is also an accredited investment fiduciary and has a personal finance book called Rich Bitch right now. Very excited about this. I've had a lot of fun connecting with Nicole over the last months, got introduced through a mutual friend, James Altucher, who's been on the show a number of times. And we talk about a lot of the stuff from her book today and also some of the stories that she shared, learning about money, kind of being thrown in the fire with her job, having to learn about it, having to learn the language about it, and then having to take control of her own finances and really get control with it. So I'm very excited to bring her on and let her dive in and talk about what it means to be a rich bitch. So without further ado, let's bring on Nicole Lappin.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited today because I've got a new friend on, Nicole Lappin, making it happen.
Yeah,
what's
baby.
Going on?
What's going on?
I'm excited because we got connected through mutual friends, James Altucher, who's a really smart guy. And
super smart guy, great hair.
How long have you known him?
Man, maybe like 5-6 years. I put him on my show on CNBC all
yeah,
the time.
Did you?
Because he caused just like trouble.
The hair caused trouble.
Everything about him caused trouble.
Yeah.
We had so much fun on TV, it should have been illegal.
Nice.
For sure.
Nice. For 5 years? Or for this was 5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Gotcha.
Best 5 years of my life, knowing James Altucher.
You've got a new book out called Rich Bitch, and
it's
a simple 12-step plan for getting your financial life together finally. Now, I'm excited about this because I'm all about learning how to master money, because I feel like it's one of the most important things in our lives that no one really figures out how to do until it's too late. They don't teach us in elementary school or high school or college. Even if you take finance classes, they don't teach you really how to master and manage your money.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. We can learn about macroeconomics and bonds and yields and spreads and all these fancy things, and you don't know how to balance your checkbook.
Uh-huh.
It's bananas. And that's what happened to me. I grew up in an immigrant family, didn't have the Wall Street Journal on the kitchen counter, never talked about stocks or bonds or any of that. And, you know, I never learned it in school. So I was pretty clueless growing up. I had a boyfriend in high school who said he wanted to be a hedge fund manager. And I thought he wanted to be in gardening.
No way.
Yes way. That happened. So I was like smiling and nodding through these conversations.
Really?
Which I think a lot of women do, because it was really intimidating. Made me break out into hives.
Because it's all these like big words. You don't know what it means. Yeah. And you're trying to understand, but I still don't understand half this stuff.
You know, it's like a language, like anything else. And that's what I really realized.
A foreign language.
Yeah.
A very foreign language.
And when you start to speak that language, you feel like you're speaking Chinese in your own country. That's what happened to me when I started on the floor of a stock exchange when I was 18. I like had to learn the language really quickly. And when I realized that it was just like learning a language, I could join this conversation and I felt so empowered.
Wow. Interesting. Now, was your family, did your parents teach you about money at all? Or
just cash.
Did they? Cash, money, baby. Just cash. Did they have the language down, or was it
No, not even close. They were immigrants. So I'm first generation American.
Wow. And where are you guys from?
Israel.
Okay.
So it was like all cash all the time, which sounds like really gangster.
Like no credit cards.
It's really cool. Right.
Just paying cash, everything.
Paying cash.
Pay our cars, our house.
Totally.
Wow.
And so I didn't have a debit card. And I was like that girl who was awkward when I went out to dinner with girlfriends who had to either write a check or I know.
Wow.
I was that nerd. I was that nerd girl. Like when I first went to college and this whole internet thing was new, I needed to get a flight to Chicago. I went to Northwestern and I wanted to buy an e-ticket because that was like all the rage. But I couldn't because I didn't have a debit card. So I had to like roll up to the ticket counter with
a
bunch of cash. Yeah. I was like that.
How old were you?
Maybe terrorist person. Like, are you joking me? I mean, I was going to school and, you know, at that point, I said, enough is enough. This is ridiculous. You know, I need to take control of learning this language and take control of my life and my finances.
You know, I feel like I don't even know if I've, there's still so much to learn about money. And, you know, I'm 31, I'm going to be 32 in March. And I feel like every year I feel more and more uneducated. The more I learn about it, I'm like, gosh, there's still so much more to learn about investing and managing and, you know, what do I buy? What do I put my money in? Where does it go? Who do I trust? Who do I listen to on TV? What are they saying? There's just so much happening that it seems overwhelming. And this book you wrote, is it specifically geared towards women or who's it geared towards specifically?
Well, you are our honorary male rich bitch.
Yes.
If you can deal with the stories.
Rich bastard.
Yeah, baby. If you can deal with the stories of my ex-boyfriends and, you know, all of my girl talk, because I do have a lot of confessions in there. They're called Confessions of a Rich Bitch, where I talk about my personal stories, warts and all. Like, I get really real because for so long I was an anchor on CNN, CNBC, Bloomberg. Like, I was reporting on the biggest financial story of our time, but I was never, you know, able to be authentic and be real and to say, here's all the ways I messed up and please laugh at me.
Why weren't you able to talk about that?
You know, because I was really reporting about a financial crisis. I was reporting the news. It wasn't about me and it wasn't supposed to be about me. But I think when I realized that my stories could, you know, help my former self, that girl who was like, yeah, gardening, yeah, dude. Then I felt really inspired to sort of get real, get naked. It's like I talk about financial dieting being like a regular diet that you, you know, allow yourself small indulgences and you won't binge later on. And I think the best actual diet and you will forget more than I'll ever know about that, is to only eat when you are sitting in front of the mirror naked, because then you won't eat the chocolate cake.
So when do you spend money or invest money?
Well, I think it's about looking at yourself in using that analogy. It's sort of like looking at your financial situation naked. Like, you need to see it for what it really is in order to take control of it. That's why the first step, borrowing from my friends at other 12-step programs, is admit you have a problem.
Mm. Do we all have a problem?
We all have problems. I have more issues than Vogue. So you will see that in that book for sure.
Interesting. Okay. So admit you have a problem. That what? That you don't understand the language, that you're not set up effectively? What's the problem usually for most people?
We all have different issues. And I
overspending
created,
or?
Yeah. I mean, I've been there. I got myself in $5,000 of debt when I first moved to Atlanta when I started at CNN because I needed new clothes, obviously.
You needed the apartment or the car or whatever, yeah.
And you can't cut back on that. And then it costs more to move. And you know that cycle. It just snowballs out of control. So I've been there. Like, I know what it's really like. And I went to the School of Hard Knocks, which is the best school of them all. Yeah, baby. My favorite alma mater. I wanted to keep it real and say, like, this seems like it's a closed off boys club, this like money world.
Understanding money and making money, investing. But
I was in that club. Mm-hmm. And while it feels like, you know, there are velvet ropes out front, you can't get in. Like, I was in there, and I'm here to tell you it's not that serious. And if learning from my issues might help other folks sort of confront their own. You know, I created a 12-step program where you can read them all consecutively, or you can jump around depending on what your issues might be. I like the choose your own adventure books when I was little.
Yeah.
You remember those? So that's kind of how I did.
I didn't read, but I understand what you're talking about. I didn't read when I was a kid, though. I couldn't. It's kind of like Sex and the City meets like a financial book.
That's right. It's like Skinny Bitch for Money.
There you go. Yeah, it's cool. There's like these bitch tips and confessions of a rich bitch.
I really wanted to keep it real and try to say that money isn't and shouldn't be compartmentalized into like feeling like your checkbook.
Right.
It should, you know, go back to every part of your life. I realized being a news anchor that every story goes back to money. So I wanted to follow the money trail of your life. Mm. And when you realize that your love life goes back to money in the end of the day, your fun goes back to money.
Your freedom.
Yeah.
Or your feelings on freedom. That's or right. Your emotions or your stress levels, a lot of things.
Your career. It really goes back to your hopes, dreams, and goals and realizing that you're going to need money for that.
Interesting. Now, when I was learning to salsa dance back in 2006, I think it was about 2006, I was living above a jazz club that had salsa dancing once a week. And I went down there and I was committed to become the best white salsa dancer that I could be. And I went down there, and for 3 months, I trained and studied and had group classes, and I did private lessons, and I watched YouTube videos and practiced in front of my mirror by myself like I was dancing with a girl. It was a little weird, but I remember the moment when I felt like I actually understood the language of salsa dancing, because it was a complete foreign language. It was like speaking Chinese. And I remember the moment when I like it finally clicked and I was fluent. It was like, I understand salsa, how
can
to speak the
language.
Can you
please stand up and do some salsa for the love of God?
Let's salsa dance afterwards.
Okay, fine. Cool.
But I remember the moment that it clicked. Do you remember the moment where the language clicked for you, where you were like, I'm starting to get it. This all makes sense. And I want everyone else to understand this language.
Yeah, it was when I was on the floor of the Chicago Merc, for sure. It was, you know, when I could answer back to all these guys on the floor. Like, it was a locker room down there. The guys did not care. You know, if you were doing a live report on TV, they would pick you up and move you.
Really?
It was like their world and you were just paying rent in it. You know, there's part of the book too that talks about the first time you knew you made it. So I finished a show with AOL that I sold called I'll Never Forget My First. Where for me, my jam is kind of business, money with a little innuendo, just, you know, to make it more entertaining, because for me, I love it. I think it's so interesting, but for a lot of folks, it feels boring. So I wanted to jazz it up and make it more entertaining and say, you know, this can't, like Shark Tank, Undercover Boss, great business shows. I think Cake Boss is a great business show. I wanted to be accessible for the first time. So with I'll Never Forget My First, I talked to power women about the first time they knew they made it. Haha, sneak attack. You think you're going to like click on it and get that other first sexy time. We talked about that too. But for me, it was important to celebrate those career milestones too. So my first time was when I could buy avocados for the first time. And I was like, God, I knew I made it because avocados were really expensive. Yeah.
Wow.
Avocados are like $2.50. And so I would always just working my way up through my career, like not be able to buy avocados. And so when I could, I was like,
because it was like a luxury for you. Yeah. It wasn't like a meal. It was like this extra thing.
My best friend, Nicole, her name is also Nicole. She says, and I write this in the book, that her first time was when she could valet park her car, because when she was paying off her student loans, she had to walk like all the way to the club.
Oh, man.
And like you realize you appreciate those little moments. Yeah. Chrissy Teigen, her first time was when she didn't have to mix water with the little bits of shampoo and conditioner.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Oprah was when she could buy linens for the first time. Some celebrities are when they are on SNL or if they're in a crossword puzzle. So it can be like little things like an avocado or as big as a house. But I think it's also important to celebrate, you know, those moments you knew you made it in your career and your life.
Interesting. So what is it about, once people know the problem, what is the next step for people after they know they have an issue with money? Maybe they're not saving well. Maybe they're overspending. Maybe they're just have no clue what's happening. Maybe they're like, oh, my parents take care of my money, or I've got someone to look at that. I'll never look at it because I don't want to deal with it. What is something people can do to start being responsible? Like, what's the first thing to own their money?
I think the first thing you should do after admitting you have a problem or like assessing your situation real and straight up is coming up with your goals in three aspects of your life. I call them the three F's. I like F words. So fun, finance, and family. And I sat down for the first time when I was getting my financial life together and did my 1, 3, 5, 7, 10-year goals in each of them. And they actually have to be compatible in areas you don't necessarily think about. So like you can't be a trauma surgeon in the finance part of your life and also be a stay-at-home mom in the family part. Like they actually have to work together. And so once you have a cohesive narrative for your life, studies have shown that women who come up with a plan, but also reserve the right to change that plan. And I've changed my plan many
times.
Being flexible. Are more likely to succeed because you can actually answer the most simple question, but the one that used to give me so much anxiety, which was, what do you want to do? I used to...
With your life
Yeah. It's like elevator pitch, go. And once you can actually create a cohesive sentence for that, you feel a lot more in control. You don't feel like everything's so chaotic.
It's always a very interesting conversation when I'm talking to my girlfriend and I say, what do you want for dinner? And she just says, I don't know.
What do you want?
Constantly. What do you
want? It's the what do you want game.
Just tell me what you want to eat and we'll pick a place. Oh my gosh. But I think there's a challenge. I think most women have this where they don't know specifically what in their life. They have like these ideas, but they're not like clear. Maybe it's about, maybe I'm generalizing it, but about money, usually if I ask a woman like, what do you want with your money life? Like they have no clue. How do you even know what you want?
No,
like, how do you find out what you want?
It's coming up with small goals for each of those aspects. So also allowing yourself to have fun and, you know, factoring that in, because a financial diet, like I said, is like a regular diet. And think of it like a spending plan. It sounds better. It feels better instead of talking about
spending
it like
plan,
a
that's
budget,
good, yeah.
right?
So continue
it's like
to spend.
An eating plan. Yeah. But like you're allowing yourself to spend money on extras so you don't binge later on.
Right.
Like you're keeping yourself on track. You're not feeling deprived. You're feeling, you know, because then you'll just go out and buy a pair of shoes or whatever.
You feel like you can't spend any money.
That's right. And that's the worst because you want to come up with something that's sustainable. Yeah. So I think for me, you know, in networking, which is your jam.
Our jam.
Our jam. Bam. You know, it's also important to stop the what do you want to do or where do you want to go game. Like when you are reaching out to contacts too, even if you have nothing to do all day long and for the rest of the week and you're reaching out to someone you want to network with, come up with specific times and places. Like be very specific. So like
when you want to meet them.
Exactly. How's Tuesday at 2:30 or Wednesday at 4? Even if you're just like sitting your ass on the couch all day long, then come up with like a specific thing. So this whole back and forth game can stop.
It can spend like hours of your day just emailing people back and forth, figuring out times to meet. It's crazy when we could just jump on the phone and talk. But yeah, I always like to give two options, a morning one day and then an afternoon the next day. I'm sure sounds like you do as well. So I think that works well.
Well, it just cuts the BS out.
It does. Yeah. I like it. You have these like, what are they called? The myths that you bust, right?
Yeah, I'm a a MythBuster?
You've been on the show.
That's right. I like to debunk. Yes.
Myths.
Yes.
Sorry.
Conventional financial wisdom.
Okay.
Here's the deal. So women, I think, will talk about everything. I say blowjobs and diarrhea before we talk about money. Okay?
I'm saying. I like it.
This is just a little preview of what you'll be expecting when you get
in the book.
Into Rich Bitch. And so for me, it was really important to help young women specifically rethink conventional financial wisdom and start thinking for yourself, because you hear like this peanuts gallery thing, like wah, 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 buy a house, wah, 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 get invested in a 401k, wah, 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 wah. And it's like, I want to blow my brains out, because, you know, it feels like this whole austerity thing where you have to stock up on water, curl in the fetal position, go in your basement and wait for doomsday. And No, it doesn't need to be that way. So I wanted to prove that there could be another way, that it's, you know, that a 401k might be for you, or buying a house might be for you, but it's not for everyone. And the point of that saying that not everyone should invest in a 401k is just that not everything in finance is for everyone. There's no one size fits all. Mm. And, you know, when the first time I decided I wanted to be vegetarian, like my family ate meat for my whole life, and finally I was like, do you have to eat meat? I don't feel like eating meat. So like there's a moment
where you start to question everything.
Yeah. Where you start saying, okay, I understand enough of this, and you know, the conventional financial wisdom is cool for some people, but maybe not for me.
Mm.
And like, you know, there's this new normal of people starting podcasts.
Exactly.
You know, entrepreneurialism is a big winner of the recession that we talked about before. And so it's not the American dream. It's your dream, and it's your destiny. It's about taking your life by the balls, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know,
or the vagina.
Wherever you want to grab it. Right? Just grab it. And it's about, you know, saying that I know the rules and I know how to break them.
Okay.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share, because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So speak to me about buying a home, since you talked about that. I've been thinking about it for the last year, but I haven't really like researched enough. I moved to Los Angeles, and part of me is like, okay, I've got some money that I can play with if I want to have a home, or should I reinvest it in my business? Why or why shouldn't you buy a home?
You should buy a home because you want a home.
Not for an investment?
ever buy a home for an investment. Yeah. And it's a joke.
Unless it's like your business is flipping homes, maybe. Like that's your company.
Yeah, then go on HGTV, be a house flipper star.
I've had a friend who's been flipping my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome for him. But
he makes a lot of money in his business.
That's great for him. And he is an expert in that. And he will forget more than I will ever know about that. Yes. But for everyone else who thinks like, oh, buying a house is such a great investment. Or my grandma bought a house for 50 grand and now it's worth 350 grand. Well, guess what? Your grandma is 80 years old.
30 years ago.
Right? And there's this little thing called inflation, which is the reason that movie tickets when we were younger
$6 or $5.
And now it's $15 or whatever. So that's like inflation. And people forget about that little bugger called inflation. And so time adjusted, the largest study ever done over the last 100 years for housing showed that it barely beat inflation. And the money that you put in to a house, like remember, look in the mirror, you will be your landlord. If there's termites, like that's
you got to deal with it.
Right.
And that's a lot of money to reinvest in and constantly fixing things. I'll tell you what, I love renting because the stuff is always fixed.
That's right.
And it's always done and it's done on time. And I wouldn't only imagine, I'm like, gosh, this guy is putting so much money into this. And there's always some type of fix up or homeowners fees or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's like $1,200 a month just to like have valet or whatever. You're just like, man.
The lawn.
Everything.
Snow removal, depending
on
where you
live. Everything. It's crazy. Okay, so.
Something breaks. Yeah, so adjusted for inflation, barely beats inflation over time. So don't think of it as an investment. Think of it like if you want to live in a house and you're going to stay there for the rest of your life and you're going to be like an old man in that house, then great, get a house. Mm-hmm. But don't be delusional and think of it as a good investment because it's not.
Yeah. You might get lucky and maybe like your market goes up or whatever, and then you sell it a few years later and make a little bit of money. But
or it could go the other way.
Or it could go the other way.
Or you could use that in, you know, that chunk of money that you have for down payment, I'm assuming that you're thinking about. And, you know, think of the opportunity cost that you could be losing by reinvesting in yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, making more podcasts.
Your business. Exactly.
More School of Greatness.
Exactly.
And who knows, that pays dividends later on. Maybe you could get a bigger house.
Exactly. I
like
that.
Because you've invested in yourself.
What are some of the other myths that you demystify?
I think the biggest financial myth is don't buy your morning latte, which makes me crazy.
What? Why not buy your morning latte?
Well,
that's a myth.
Yeah, I think it's a myth because, you know, so many financial
experts. Save the $6 a day because over the year you'll be $3,000 or whatever.
Whatever it costs. I don't know what kind of like triple venti blah blah latte you're buying, but like, $1,500 to $2,500 a year. So most financial experts, and I'm doing like the little
the quotes
things, will
quotes.
Say, don't like cut out your morning latte, go make your coffee in the morning. I think that's crazy town, USA, because you have to think of yourself as someone who has billable hours, like an attorney. Even if you're making minimum wage, your time is money.
Exactly.
Your time is valuable. Even if you're making $10 an hour, 30 minutes in the morning, you're spending $5 fussing with a filter.
Yeah.
You could have used that $5 for that latte, gotten to work earlier, had a pep in your step, been happier, and worked harder to get maybe a bonus that would have trumped that $1,500 or $2,500 that other financial experts say you would have saved by just making your coffee.
And it's just like the energies put into doing those things. Like I talk about coffee, but I also talk about, you know, we're in New York City. When I lived here, I would put my laundry in a bag and just drop it off next door and have it done. And it would save me 3 hours of time, you know, for $12. And for me, it's worth doing those little things that are like little luxuries. Whether it's buying your coffee or getting laundry done or whatever it may be, having someone run errands for you to save you the time and the energy to then create more and make more.
Time is money.
Right? Yeah.
Time is the only thing you can't buy.
That's it. Man. Okay.
So I think it's about, investing in yourself. That's going to pay dividends later on. Allowing yourself small indulgences. Allowing yourself to feel, you know, satisfied in whatever that is, whether it's a latte or a yoga class or a salsa class
or a trip or whatever.
As long as you put it in your spending plan, it's accounted for. It's about four. That's what I've learned from those so many CEOs that I've talked to who've run major companies. And, you know, if they decide that they're going to have cupcake day on Friday, like it's in the budget, it's accounted for.
Yeah.
So it's above board. You can go buy cupcakes. You don't have to sneak it. So find that small indulgence, whatever that is, and put it in your budget so you can plan for it and it's all good.
I like it. I like it. I do a lot of automatic saving. I have a lot of extra money that I just like I should reframe it this way. When I'm in New York,
automatic in my.
When I'm in New York, I feel like I spend $200 just walking outside because there's always like I want to get a nice green juice. I want to get good food, healthy organic food. You know, I pick up whatever, and I'd never feel guilty because I know that I have all my money going into automatic accounts and every savings that I have into my 401k, into my insurance plans, into everything. It's like my savings, it's all filled up to the max. And then I do more accounts. So I'm like, whatever That's I have awesome. Left over, it's like I never feel guilty about spending. But I don't really buy things in the first place. I buy like good food.
And green juice.
And sometimes like brownies.
I'm all about it. It's okay. You got your carbon credit with your green juice. Exactly. It's total yes. offset.
Do you recommend this, having these automatic systems in place? You don't have to think about it because I don't even think about it
anymore. Not only do I recommend it, but I'm obsessed with it. Okay. What's your favorite sub-savings account?
Sub-savings account?
Let's nerd out a little.
Now you're talking a different language. Now, sub, so what do you mean? Like,
okay, so for me, not only do I do automatic into savings, but I create little buckets.
Okay, gotcha.
Called sub savings accounts.
For like a trip or for like a house That's or right. like a diamond ring or whatever maybe. Is that what you're talking about?
Or like a broken iPhone fund. Which is like typically what I, you know, I'm a klutz. I drop my iPhone probably on average twice a year.
Wow.
And, you know, when people say to me, listen, Lapin, like I've gone through your plan, I set up my savings plan, I accounted for my essentials, end game, and extras, which are the three E's. I'm all about alliteration.
End game,
extras, and essentials. So essentials should be 70% of your gross monthly income. End game, like retirement, what you want to do with your life, and extras, the latte, the salsa glass, whatever. But they say, I did all that, but my car got towed. How would I know my car got towed? So everything like spiraled out of control. And I say, my friend, like you could have probably predicted shit's going to happen. Yeah. Like shit is going to happen. And sometimes it happens like one after another. Like the time when I backed my car out of the garage and busted my mirror off. And then I did the exact same thing like 2 weeks later. It seriously happened. With an iPhone, like normally that could throw you off budget. But I know that I'm a klutz. So I put money into my broken iPhone account.
Before you need it.
Right. Oh so it's gosh. In there. I put in like, you know, so I have about $200 a year in this account and it doesn't throw me off.
Tell me some other myths that you debunk.
Wills are for rich people. Make a damn will.
Wills are for rich people?
People think that. People think I don't need a will. Do you have a will, Lewis?
I believe I do.
What do you mean you believe you do?
I believe I do.
It's a yes or no question. It's not a believe.
Actually, I'm not sure if I have a will yet, but I know that I have a beneficiary for like everything.
Okay, so but that's not a
like
will.
It's not a will, but I feel like.
Do you have money?
Yeah, so I need
we
to have one.
About that
so I need to have
so
a
you
will.
You need a will.
Okay, educate me.
It's what all else right, do I, what I'm else do on. I need? It's what else all like Donkey Kong.
So I don't need to buy a house. I need to get a will.
Yes.
What else do I need?
You buy your green juice. It's gonna be okay.
What else do I need?
What's your retirement situation all about? I've got
a lot of money saved up and I put so much money
away. Are you investing in it?
Yeah.
Where are you investing?
Well, I've got, let me think about it. I've got.
It's not a trick question, dude.
Yeah, I know. I've got it in like different buckets. I've got investing in like, I'm investing in stocks. I'm investing in funds. I've got a fund that I'm investing a lot of money into. I've got investment in my 401k. I've got an investment in, there's something else. I forget the name of it. It's
wow,
something
it
like,
you really love
I'm not
it.
That educated. Yeah. What do you feel like it should be the main investments outside of, so you don't think about 401k or you do like 401k?
Well, do you have a 401k?
Yeah.
And you do.
I have a 401k and I
Solo
max it
401k.
Out. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. What about an IRA?
I have that, but I can't put money into it anymore.
Why are you Because
I make too much money.
You can, there's a legal, little loophole where you can, get into a Roth IRA by putting money into a IRA and then the very same day rolling it over. I don't know why it is legal, but it exists and that's a way to kind of get around
okay.
system. So you should just, you know, have as many sort of buckets, which is your favorite word.
I think it's good.
No, I think people should realize that, you know, even if you don't have an accountant, even if you don't have a CPA hanging out with you, that investing is not for rich people. And that the only way to grow wealth is to invest. And that we talked about inflation earlier on. it's, you know, let's call it 3% a year. You know, if you put your money in savings, even if you think you're doing a great job with all your savings and your sub savings accounts, maybe if you're lucky, you'll get 1%. That doesn't even, you know, account for inflation. Yeah, so like what you could buy in a few years will not be the same. Like you're actually losing money. So the only way to really make your money grow is through investments.
What are the 10%. Best investments then?
I think if you want to start with baby steps, you know, think about mutual funds, think about index funds.
Index funds is supposed to be
low cost index funds. It's basically where, like where you're buying everything within an index, which
Well, I've heard mutual funds actually are not what you should be investing in because of the fees are very high. But maybe you can educate me on this. But I was reading Tony Robbins' book and he was talking about how index funds is what you should be investing in.
Yes.
As opposed to mutual funds.
It depends. Like there's, again, I love Tony. He's awesome. But I don't care. Like there's no one size fits all answer for everyone. Like I don't know your particular financial situation. Maybe like mutual funds is a way for you to go because, you know, what's great about mutual funds is that it gives you more leverage as part of like a whole fund to get into stuff that you wouldn't have access to if you were buying yourself. Like you couldn't get into Berkshire Hathaway on your own.
Gotcha.
Like the power of a fund can give you exposure to a ton of cool stuff for not a lot of money. So like maybe that's a better way for you. Like I'm not, who am I to judge?
Right.
You know, and realizing that, you know, even you as a consumer might have a good eye for buying investments like Lululemon. Yeah. If you're going to the mall,
right.
You know, and you think Lululemon is killing it, then like, or Starbucks, or, you know, if you walk into a Coach store and you're like, Coach, they're not doing so well. You know what? Their stock price is actually reflecting that.
Right.
So trust yourself as like a shopper and consumer, that CPI thing that we talked about in the back of the book, consumer price index, like consumers account for 70% of the economy. So remember that like, it's not that serious. Like the investing world, like don't feel intimidated and feel scared.
Sure.
Because it can be as easy as like loving Lululemon pants and
then putting your money
there
you go.
It.
Talk to me about the mindset of money with women. And we talked about this a little bit, but
wouldn't you like to know?
How does someone like, you know, you talk about like acknowledging that you have a problem, but how does someone really overcome 20, 30, 40 years of thinking a certain way or always having like their parents take care of it or without paying them, without hiring them to take care of it? Or just never even thinking about it or thinking that money just comes from wherever. Maybe they were entitled. Maybe they just were given money a lot. How does someone shift their mindset and really start thinking of this way of saving, putting in buckets, automating the process when they have never even, again, don't even have this education?
It's the biggest thing actually that can get people off track. I mean, it's the mores that you've had growing up. Like, you know, it's the same thing that, you know, when I was younger, my family ate meat. So I ate meat. That's like just how it's always been done. Well, you know what? Until I put my big girl panties on and realized like it wasn't for me. And people get into that trap all the time, whether it's from how their family used to do it, whether it, like in your family, your dad got a new lease on a new car like every few years. So that's how you're predisposed to think, or your mom got a new dress every time she went out. Like cause that's just the way it's always been done. Or y'all went to like out to dinner on every Tuesday night. So you need to go out to dinner every Tuesday night. Like grow up. And also a lot of times after women are getting out of relationships, like you can fall into that trap too. Well, date night was every Saturday night. So like we have to go out. Like, okay, no, it's not always every Saturday night. Like it doesn't, there's nothing always that needs to be. It's like what you decide for your life is how it needs to be.
Do you ever feel like you're going to stop learning about money?
Never.
Do you feel like it's,
when you stop learning, you should die.
That's true. Yeah. But do you feel like there's a moment where you've got to figure it out, or is there always going to be a new thing? Because it seems like when it comes down to simple investing and saving, it's pretty basic once you understand all the crazy madness. It's like, okay, here's what you need to do. It becomes easier, right? So is there ever going to be a time in the future where like, okay, now actually I'm going to do something different, or there's like this new funding thing or savings plan? Like it seems like it's going to always be very simple. There's just different jargon or terms or plans that'll come out, right?
Well, I think every story goes back to money. So yeah, there's always different.
Every funds. Story, is that what you said?
Every story. Absolutely. That's how I like follow the money trail of every story, whether I go on Entertainment Tonight to talk about the business of Hollywood or Wendy Williams talk about, you know, saving money. I think, you know, you can follow the money trail of every single story. And that's why I think, you know, the topic of money is so interesting, is because it just doesn't have to do with mutual funds and index funds and all that stuff, which it does. And yes, there'll always be some new innovation, but it's also like weird ways to make money, which I love, is like the new share economy idea, like renting out your dog. Poor dog. Talked about earlier for your friend, you can rent it out.
Yeah.
Or rent your tent, or, you know, put your house on Airbnb, or, you know,
Etsy store you talk about, I think, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's cool new ways to make money. Like, you want to be a referee, you want to be a blogger, you want to be like, I just find it so interesting that this like fun employment movement with so many young women and boys too. Like, you want to be an alpaca farmer? Great. Go be an alpaca farmer. You want to start a chocolate shop? Great. There's like this amazing entrepreneurial spirit.
It's like you can do anything you want.
Yeah. But, you know, at some point, like, I'm all about fake it till you make it. Like, I had a fake assistant, a fake Gmail assistant, for sure.
Really?
I talk about that.
And you were doing, you were replying, but it was like.
Yeah, it was Dorothy. Wow. I know. I know.
It's amazing.
Well, I mean, there's certain, like, you know, fake it till you make it that you have to do until you have to get real and realize, like, I think there's a little bit of an entrepreneur in all of us. Uh-huh. We're always like, well, what if? And I think for me, it's also about talking to women, especially that, you know, you can be entrepreneurial even if you work for somebody else. Even if you're in a big company, you can be entrepreneurial. You're the business of you. Like, right. If you work at a coffee shop and you want to be the best barista ever, like, you could go and pitch yourself to, there's Haro, which is Help a Reporter Out, which is a site, like, you could get some press. Yep. Like, own that. So I think it's about like embracing this entrepreneurial spirit, but then also being like, okay, do I have 3 to 6 months of savings? Do I have health insurance? Like, am I keeping up with my contacts just in case like shit doesn't go as planned?
Right.
Like, can I go back? So all these questions that like you should ask before you go out and do it. I think what's amazing is that being an entrepreneur has become easier than ever before.
So much easier.
You can get a business card at Staples that says Lewis House.
You don't even need a business card.
You don't need a business card.
Just get Twitter.
Totally.
Right?
Or about.me.
Exactly. And you've got a lot of examples in the book about how to make extra money.
Yeah.
Which I like, because it's very like how to be creative and how to do things on the side. Even when you feel like you have a full-time job and you can't make more money, you don't know how to, there's some great examples. And I think the best way to save is actually just to make more.
I think that's exactly right. It's one of my biggest mantras. It's like, stop focusing and killing yourself on nickel and diming yourself. If you make more money, guess what? You don't need to save as much money. It's genius.
Why are people not able to make more money? Or why are they stuck in those mindset of like, I don't have the time, or, you know, I'm already working 50, 60 hours a week and we've got a family. How am I going to make more money? What do you think people are stuck in that?
I think, you know, it's a... going back to the idea of investing in yourself. And even if you are trying to start a new business, or you want to be like the best alpaca farmer ever and like just burn your bra and leave your job, you know, try something a little bit on the side, because realizing you don't like something is almost just as important as realize you do like something. So sort of get it out of your system. If you want to be the best handball athlete ever.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you don't want to do that full time, but you're trying it, right?
Exactly.
So as you're going. And so maybe you do want to say like, F the podcast world, like, I'm out. Everybody's going to be really sad, obviously.
Sad.
But you're at least, you know, like you're trying out something that you had, you know, burning in you.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really important lesson for folks who are dabbling with going out and starting their own business or starting their own thing.
Yeah.
Because it is easier now than ever before. So start your own URL, start your own anything. It's like, it's a blessing and a curse.
It's so easy now. I mean, I feel like I'm just so grateful, because I don't know what I'd be doing right now if I had to work a job. And I don't think, I feel like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I wouldn't have these options that I have right now. Like, there would be no podcast, there would be no online business, there would be no, you know, it wouldn't be this easy to write a book. It's so much easier to do things now more than ever. And I feel like there's no excuses for people to make money.
Can you imagine? You would have to do your own laundry.
Right?
Crazy.
I know.
My heart is bleeding for you.
I've been in New York City all month, and I've been actually doing my laundry.
Who does your laundry? The little man down the street?
No, my assistant.
Oh, jeez. Lewis. Good to be Lewis.
You know, I work hard.
Yeah, you
I work
do.
Hard for
no,
the things
and you
I want.
Deserve
I'm very
it.
Clear no, on what I want, and I'm clear on the way I want my life to be.
I'm all about it. I feel the
if I don't want to have to cook or clean or do laundry or run errands or
own it. Yeah.
Then why should I?
Your time is more valuable. The ROI exactly. on you creating another podcast exactly. or you going and taking a meeting like it's could yield more value more than money.
30 yeah. minutes of or 60 minutes of laundry.
Or green juicing, for sure.
And exactly.
That's messy.
And yeah. it takes forever to clean up.
I agree. You don't want to get
I'd rather just make more money.
And get some little green juice man to come over to your house and juice it for you. Yes, yes.
Or just go buy a bunch of bottles at the store.
Right, done.
I love it. So when people go through the 12-step plan, what's next for them? Do you have online resources? Do you have worksheets for people afterwards? Is there
for sure
a website?
Whole budgeting tool, whole everything, a whole bunch of content, a bunch of videos.
And all the links are inside the book.
Inside the book, NicoleLappin.com. It's a good site. And realizing, you know, that your whole body is your business. Yeah. Your home is your business. Like it touches so many aspects of your life that you don't feel like it's a money conversation.
Yeah. But it all comes back to money.
Taking care of yourself. For sure. What kind of food you're buying.
Your health comes back to money.
Yeah. Vegetables are going to be more, you know, cheaper than any packaged thing you could buy. You know, making sure your home is like your sanctuary keeps you more productive. Working out, all that stuff.
I want to ask you about relationships and money, because even though you have an ebook out about this, isn't that like one of the biggest issues in relationships is money?
For sure. Over anything else. Over laundry, over taking care of kids.
Green juice.
Anything.
Sick dogs.
It why? Is money.
Why?
Because people lie to each other about money.
Why? And what do they lie about?
How much debt they have, who they owe. You know, I think being straight up about all of it, there's, you know, sort of a trend, I want to say, of relationships not working out because of people's student debt. Like there was a woman that I counseled who was like a brilliant young woman who had $100,000 of debt, and she met this great guy, and he was like, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like, I don't want to take that on.
It's so tough though. It's like if you've got $100,000 or $300,000 or right. some like doctors have like $300,000-$400,000. It's like, how do you take that on? It's almost like a burden that you bring on just by being in a relationship with someone.
And I don't hate him for it, actually.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, when I got my financial life together, like, I don't know if I would want to take on somebody else's and take a few steps back.
So how does someone deal with that? Or how does someone navigate through that process? Because what if you're fully committed or love someone, but it's like, are you fall in love and you can't help it? Do you just not be in a relationship because of their debt?
I don't, it's your choice. Like that is all you, but there are big considerations that sometimes mess up, you know, things that you don't think about, like your love life, like get married, like all of that stuff. And so it's a real consideration right now. And I think that's one of the biggest things when I talk to women that they get right away. It's when you're getting divorced, when your husband dies, like when you need to get your financial life together. I think deep down, you know, we want to be financially independent, but those are the like the trigger points in women's lives specifically when they're like, oh, yep, this needs to happen. Mm. Until then, it's like, okay, later, 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 later.
Let's put it off. Man, money can be stressful unless you have it under control.
Yes and no. And just realizing that like money is so cultural that like you want good relationships. It's like anything else. You want a good relationship. You don't want to be that weird girl like I was at the ticket counter or like paying with the check at dinner. Like I didn't want to be that girl.
Everything cash.
And so it didn't have to do with money. It was like a cultural experience, right? Stacks on stacks on stacks.
I love it. A couple questions left for you. I want everyone to make sure they pick up the book, Rich Bitch. We'll have it all linked up on the show notes. We'll tell you guys where to go for that, but you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores, everything else. What are you most grateful for recently, Nicole?
I'm grateful for you.
Okay, what else besides me?
My goodness, honestly, and this sounds really cheesy and Pollyanna-ish of me, but I'm really grateful for finally birthing this book. And
it's a lot.
You know, like, I don't need to tell you, it's a process.
It's a lot.
But I had a vision that, like, you know, we could swear when we spoke about money. There's no other finance book that throws down bitch like I do or, you know, shit or all this stuff. Like, I just talk the way I talk right now
Real
in
talk.
A book because I couldn't find something else that was like that. Everything else was like, oh my God, I'm going to cry myself to sleep. Or, you know, I felt like a mission to fill this void. And, you know, it's a serious topic, but like, you know, the only way to make it resonate is to speak in unconventional, sassy, you know.
So people can connect with it. Yeah. And get it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And if I had to like be the guinea pig, I'd take it for the team. to, you know, show all the ways I messed up. My publisher's like, seriously, Nicole, like, you want to go there? And I'm like, yes, like as real, as raw as possible.
What do you want women to know about money moving forward?
Yeah, I want them to know that being a rich bitch isn't about having more money than you know what to do with. It's about having confidence and being empowered to live a full, rich life in all aspects of the word. So being a rich bitch isn't about having bling bling and private jets. It's about living a rich life in, you know, in all aspects of what the word rich means.
That's interesting. I like that. What is a question or conversation starter that women can apply today when they go out to lunch or dinner with their girlfriends about money? What's something they could say to get them started?
How much money do you make? I think it's such an important, basic conversation, but like actually if I knew more about how much my colleagues made, like I would have been much better off when I was negotiating for myself, when I was looking for different jobs, like more transparency, I think is helpful.
Why do people not like to talk about that?
It's awkward because you feel like you're going to be judged by it. But I think that, you know, more honesty like floats all boats. We can help each other. Kumbaya. We are the world.
You think that's the first question they should ask? Like, how much money do you make? Or is there a way to get people into it so it's not as...
Foreplay? You want to yes. ease on
Give
into
me some
the
foreplay. I mean, I'm all about asking that type of question.
I'm just about going there. Yeah. I'm really, I think that it's a good conversation starter because you can either be surprised or you could, you know, feel like you make the same amount or like, what are you doing then with that money? Like, you know, I think.
Interesting. I like that. What are you doing with your money?
Folks don't.
Are you saving your money? Do you know what how your plan is? If you don't know, you should check out this book I just checked out, which is called Rich Bitch.
Well, bam.
It'll tell you everything you need to know. I like it. Very cool.
Drop the mic.
Well,
I'm out, Louis. You're welcome.
Well, I appreciate you sharing and for coming on here. I want to acknowledge you really quickly for taking on this project because this is not an easy subject to talk about. It's not an easy subject to master. And you've been doing it for the last 12 years plus through your own struggles and mistakes. And, you know, all the interesting stories are in here. So if you just want to read something that's interesting about all of her struggles, check this out. But I really... for being a voice to women who have no clue what they are doing, some of them, or for the ones that don't have a clue, for being a voice, a clear, simple, concise voice, and educating them on how to have complete ownership and responsibility for their money and their life. So I acknowledge you for that. Thank you for that. I want to ask you one final question. It's what I ask everyone at the end.
Okay.
It's what's your definition of greatness?
Lewis Howes, the School of Greatness. Actually, Mama Howes. She is... the greatness behind the greatness.
She is. She birthed the greatness.
She is. She's my definition of greatness.
Do you have another definition or is that your definition?
I thought that was the best definition ever.
I think it is.
I broke records on this podcast.
I'll tell my mom this. Awesome.
Love me.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thanks again so much, guys, for coming on. Make sure to check out lewishowes.com/128. Go pick up this book. If you feel like your finances or your savings are not in order, then make sure to check it out. Learn what she talks about in this book. All the show notes back at lewishowes.com/128 with a link back to where you can get the book, where you can connect with Nicole, where you can find her on social media and her website. And you're going to want to make sure to stay connected with Nicole for a long time because she's always got lots of good little nuggets and words of wisdom to share. So thank you guys so much for coming on. Again, leave a comment over on the blog over at lewishowes.com/128 of what you most took away from this episode. Make sure to subscribe if this is your first time over at the School of Greatness podcast. Leave us a review if you enjoyed this. And I'm so pumped for all of the great episodes we have coming up very shortly. Again, we're doing this 3 times a week now, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we've got a lot of great things coming here this entire year. So thank you guys so much for coming on. Thanks again to Nicole for sharing her wisdom. Make sure to check out the show notes, lewishowes.com/128. And you guys know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great. 3, 2, 1, let's go.
seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.